My name is Victoria Matei.
My name is Olga Araceli.
And we are both undocumented women of color. Buen día, grupo. Well, welcome back to a Shot of Truth podcast. I had mentioned that one of my really good friends was going to come, and I'm just going to let them introduce themselves and just, you know.
Hi. I'm kidding. Hi, everyone. I am Alex Martinez. I am a community organizer, a poet, author, a bitch.
A bitch.
Among other things. I have a lot of titles. But a bitch, it seems
it's high up
to
there.
Fit all of them.
Yeah. Aren't you also vice president of the drag committee?
Yeah. I don't. Do folks know what that is?
I don't think so.
Well, let me explain what that is. I am vice president. I can't be president because there's like somebody that's more of a bitch than me, and like which is almost impossible. But
she's just cutthroat.
She is cutthroat. So the dragging committee is. The committee that will drag your ass anytime we meet. This is for the DLI fellows, Dream Lead Institute fellows. There's about 7 of us, right?
I think so.
We're just cutthroat. We just don't give a fuck. We'll take you down. Even if you're our best friend, we'll take you down. Just a little bit. If you're acting up.
Yeah, honestly, sometimes it's just like left and right, like shitting on each other. But it's loving. It's fun.
I mean, yeah, I love all my fellows.
All right. So as mentioned, we met with the Dream Lead Institute Fellowship. Do you remember the first thing I said to you when I met you?
You're going to be my best friend?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I remember.
I was like, we're best friends now.
Yeah. Also, you told me you had a friend with the same name.
Yeah. Another Alex Martinez.
Which I met.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird.
I know, right?
Because I met them across the country.
In Miami.
And I got their room.
Oh my gosh.
We went to a conference in Miami. I think it was like probably like 3 or 4 months after we met each other. And we found out that we're going to be at the same conference. But I get there and it turns out that there's a bunch of people with Hispanic or Latin names, and so they gave me the wrong number, and I walk in there and there's stuff already in the room, and I see a badge with somebody's name, and it's not Alex, but it's somebody else, and it says the blue group. I was like, that sounds really familiar. And it turned out to be folks from your town.
Yeah,
that was so weird.
That was so funny.
Such a weird coincidence. And funny, right? And I even took a photo of the room. Mm-hmm. Just to be creepy.
I know, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, in short, Alex and I siempre estamos chismeando, talking shit.
Duh.
But as mentioned, like ever since the first time we met, I was just like, we're gonna be really good friends, and we did. Like, I don't like to do anything without you.
I mean, I guess I'm useful sometimes.
All right, so I want to hear
what
the hell you do. Tell me about your life.
Well, I do a lot of things, and I don't do anything at all at the same time. And that's such a skill.
I kind of think I'm doing the same thing, actually. Like, right? People think that I'm, like, really busy doing all this shit, but realistically, I'm, like, sitting watching Netflix. But, you know.
Well, you know, like, you gotta take care of yourself some days and watch Netflix a lot. But, so I'm a community organizer. Well, community organizer for the ACLU. I've had that job since May of last year. Always been organizing because obviously a lot of the issues affect me personally. And so that motivates me to get out there and mobilize other people to take action and change this fucking country. But other than that, I work with undocumented families and youth. Assisting them financially or legally, or just just kind of connecting the dots.
Yeah. How did you get started doing all that?
So when I was in high school, actually, no, when I got out of high school, I met a person whose brother was also undocumented, and he was the first person that was actually speaking with folks about that. And he would share his story, and he would share like all of the fucked up things that have happened because of his status, and I identify with that, and I said I wanted to do what he was doing already, and which was organizing people to not only protest but to lobby to and to educate others about our statuses. And so that's how I got started, and I haven't done anything else since then.
What else? Dime más.
Bueno, como ya preguntaste. girl, I will talk about myself all day long.
Oh, pues tenemos tiempo.
Tenemos. Oh, dale pues. Después no te quejes. 3 hours later.
Oh my god.
No, so besides that, I am an artist. I write. I've been writing since I was a tiny, annoying child until now that I'm an annoying grown up sort of adult. I do mostly poetry. I do a lot of other types of writing, but I'm not good at them. I'm just good at poetry, and I wouldn't say I have a style. Everything I write is just sad shit. But it's also sad with a twist. It's like sad, but also sad in a way that it asks you to take action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my poetry is, it's kind of allowing people into my life, but not for the purpose of making them feel bad for me, but making them take action for me or with me. And so my poetry is very political. It's very mm-hmm. personal. I address issues like migration, sexual violence, and also racism. And so, yeah, that's what I do with my poetry.
So before we go into hearing some of the stuff that you've been working on, I do want to... I just want to ask you, what do you think of Seattle? Because we've been talking about since the first day we met that you were going to come visit, and now it's here, and all we've done is... I don't know.
I don't know. Seattle is moody. The weather is so moody. It's like today I was cold 4 different times, and then it was sunny, and I was like, I was taking my jacket off, and I was like, oh, it's perfect. And then it rained again, and it was like cold rain. this place is, I mean, it's different. It's, the weather is moody, but I mean, so is the Midwest. I don't know. Seattle is different than other cities that I've been to. I feel like it's so pretty. It's like really pretty. Like from comparing to big cities is kind of basic, but also in a pretty way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like when I was telling you when I was coming here, I had like a really high expectation, and it didn't really meet that, but I was okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't know, I had good beer so far. We had fun, having fun, drinking. what else is there to do than drink?
The bars that we wanted to go to based on how they looked outside.
I mean,
if there was lights, we went.
yeah. No, it was fun exploring places and having drinks, and also just observing the people and like what happens at night in Seattle. You know, it was such a fun experience.
We were on Capitol Hill, so it was a hot fucking mess, but it was good. We were like oh, we're not gonna go dancing, we're gonna have a chill night.
Oh no, we end up dancing
and we thought we came home really late, but it was only like 11 porque estábamos pedas.
We got fucked up. Yeah, so early. What are we drinking right now?
We are drinking the Sky Kraken by Fremont.
Okay.
We were just there.
This beer is delicious.
It is so good. I like it.
They should sponsor your show.
Yo, last time we plugged Aslan, so I should email them. Be like, hey.
Here is your fee.
6-pack, at least.
At least.
At least.
Please.
All right. Well, I definitely, you know, we wanted to have a really, like chill show because we don't want to fucking talk politics all the time. We
That's my job. So I...
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to come travel across the country so I can talk about my job.
Yeah, I want to hear about you. I want to hear about your feelings, your art. Just, I don't know. I just
don't ask me about my feelings because I'll run away. I'm a Capricorn. We I do know. That.
Yes.
But no, what do you want to ask me?
Well, I want you to share some of your art. Whatever you want. Sure. Whatever you want to share.
Sure, sure, sure.
You said you wanted to share things at like different stages of your life. So maybe like think about that for a second.
Okay. I'll think about it. My book is in my bag, actually.
Go get it.
Okay.
We'll cut all this shit out.
Okay, let's talk about poetry. Let's talk about the poetry that I write.
Yeah, so Alex is amazing and hardworking. And I think the second time that we had gotten together, you had gifted me this book that you published.
Yeah, this book is called Disclosure, Confessions of a Queer in Crisis. You want to talk about it, how it came out?
Yeah, and like let's hear it.
How it happened. So, Disclosure actually came out April 30th of 2018, which is this week.
Wow.
This year is this week is the anniversary of this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And so, this book was really written at a moment of crisis. I had just ended my relationship about, I think it was a few months after my relationship had ended, but like officially ended when I actually moved out of my apartment, that I shared with this person. And, you know, after you spend so much time with people and you live, you know, when you live with your family, you live with roommates or whoever, and then you're living with a person, and then you go on your own for the first time ever and you actually have to cook your own shit. Like, and then like you come home, and then if you had pets together, you come home and you walk into emptiness and silence. It is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad in a way that it's almost hard to explain. And I know some people would like identify with that. And so, I would come home and just be really sad. So I would leave again. I would go just to seek warmth, attention, and talk to other people. And because I was used to that. And honestly, I whenever I started confronting that I was alone and I needed to be alone, is when I started writing this. This book. I also started writing it because I felt alone. I downloaded like dating apps and hookup apps, and so that was such a weird, incredible, messed up experience. And like, that's a way to describe it.
I've never done that. I'm too scared. And then you were last night, you were like, you should be scared.
You should be. It really, really is intense. Dating apps are ridiculous. So, you know, I downloaded them. I met with people for dates. I think I went on 3 dates. They were awful. The guys are just gross. And then I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to have sex with people instead of trying to date them. And so I did that for a while. But then the more that I did it, the more awful I really felt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I was losing myself, and I don't really shame anyone for having sex. Please have more sex. But I just felt like I was confronting that I was being alone, but I was not being honest about it. I was not, I feel like maybe I needed more time alone. I don't know. But then I started writing this poetry about being alone, about my ex, about the new people that I was messing around with. And then it became into this kind of just little confessions, like a confession in each page of people I've slept with or people who made me feel terrible because of this, my skin color was darker than theirs and things like that. So I wrote confessions just to put it out there. I didn't have an intention or I didn't have a reason to publish it. It was just something that happened and it's out there now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Let's hear something.
So this is from, so I'm going to read you like in parts, from the first part, my favorite poem. This is about the ex. So I guess you could see the differences. Give me just 1 second.
The progression and just how you felt over time.
Yeah, this poem is called A Room of Memories. And I wrote about this when I realized that I was alone, but also realized that I felt powerful being alone because where I was not where I wanted to be.
All right.
A Room of Memories. Your disorders became mine when I started to carry your guilt and shame. One day, I woke up and decided to decorate the room with the salted tears I shed for you. I painted the walls with your weaknesses so I could remind myself that I could survive without you. I planted flowers with seeds of a leftover loss so one day I could harvest passion again. I washed the sheets to get rid of your dirty and uninterested attention so I could start clean and I could love again. I tried to fix the window you broke when you threw away our only chance of living and made new curtains to cover up your tracks and erase you from my past. I ask Mother Earth to let me forget. I offer my disorders to her and she caressed me to sleep.
Wow, that was amazing.
So that's, again, that poem is about just letting go
of
that energy and, but also realizing that there was bad energy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're in a relationship, you don't notice it.
Other people notice it and they'll tell you, but you just, like, don't notice
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so in love. Pendejo.
Bitch, same.
Right, exactly. So, like, but when you start realizing that this is not, like, where you want to be, and also that it's not healthy, I think that's when you make the decision. So, after that, I went into, like I said, into this self-discovery of messing around with other people for, like, the first time. And so this is called The Rhythm of Lust. And I love this really short poem because it's so true. Cleaning up for you is like cleaning up on a Sunday with some salsa music loudly playing in the background. It's not routine. No, it's more special than that. It's a special ritual. Yet, no matter how clean I get for you, we end up dirty and sweaty. Just like a salsa dancer when he makes love to the rhythm of lust.
I'm speechless, but
there's a lot of those, just like really sensual and sexy poems. Oh my gosh, I do need to read one about I forgot the name. It's somewhere in here. I read this poem because, where is it? Okay, so I read this poem, and so this is whenever I started to deal with, like, sexual racism in dating apps or in hookup apps. One of the first things that, like, white gay people will ask you if they saw your skin tone was, like, are you uncircumcised? And like, and it was just so like, so
oh my
like,
gosh, seriously. What the fuck is wrong with people?
Well, that's, you know, like, it's like brown bodies and brown parts are so fetishized that like, I didn't realize that until then. And it bothered me so much. And so I had an encounter with this person who I didn't realize that was one of their fetishes until I was with them. And it made me really uncomfortable. Because I felt like it just made me really uncomfortable. It's like, you only like that part of me and everything else is just disregard, dismissed, erased. And so it was really hurtful. But at the same time, I didn't know if he was taking advantage of me or I was taking advantage of them, because it was terrifying me, but I was feeling pleasure at the same time. So it was such a weird encounter. Hmm. And so this is called Uncut.
Uncut. Oof.
Yes. Don't let the color of my skin distract us. If you notice the darker tone, you know. Your mind betrays your bleeding curiosity. I can see it in the corner of your eyes. We are not created equal, and you know it. But tell me, does a darker shade scare you? Does it amuse you? Or does it feed your insecurities? You must wonder what hides beneath my clothes, or the lines of my fetishized brown chest leads to. Oh, mi güero, ven y encuéntrame. My foreskin is the place where you can get lost. It's the place where you can stay on a rainy day. Come up sometime for a talk that you soon will regret, because your privilege will not let you hear my words. But still, come up. I'll find you with my lips.
Damn.
You don't even know what to say.
I don't even know what the fuck to say. I'm just like picturing all this like, oh?
So a lot of the poems that I wrote are, about those sexual encounters. And honestly, like, a lot of the poetry that I write is not like anything on this book. So it's really interesting. Ooh, this one's kind of serious.
A ver, let's hear it. But before you start, I want to hear, what kind of headspace are you in, like, when you get into this rhythm to do your writing? Because it comes so natural. Because it becomes, it, like, I feel like it just comes so naturally to you.
Yeah, it does.
Whereas, like, I don't know, I just feel like a lot of people, like, I know I've tried to write and writing's just not my thing. Where I have to, like, go back over and over and over and change, like, fucking everything. Yeah. Like,
I think it's like a gift of words are continuously streaming through in my head, and mm-hmm. like, and I'm just like, sometimes I'm like really lucky that I have like my phone or pen and paper close to me that I can get it like down and write him. But there's like, I feel like almost 50% of the things that I think in my head never made it to the paper, never make it. But it's just such a natural thing. I think it's also the way that I see the world. I see the world in a very poetic and romantic way. And
what's funny, because you're like, I'm a Capricorn, I don't have feelings.
Yeah, no, but like, I mean, I'm a vicious motherfucker too, but like, I see the beauty in absolutely everything. And
also the worst.
And the worst too, as as a very stubborn, you know, human. And I've said this before in my poetry, I do see the worst, because then I'm better prepared to when I'm let down by those things or by those people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I see both, and like, that's the way my brain works.
Gotcha.
And so yeah. At this poem that I'm going to read, it's called Midwestern Flames. It was about a person that I was dating at the time. Let me read it and then I'll tell you what it means.
Okay.
I stared at the empty chair across the table for what seemed a million years. Just behind it, the broken glass door danced along the Midwest air. Through the broken glass, The fire raged and decimated everything on its way. In the flames, I found solace. You were far away from here and safe. You see, our destiny was decided for us a long time ago, when we were mere ideas. We were destined to love, and we were destined to fly. But you were destined to thrive, and I was destined to burn.
Oh, you're so funny. Okay, explain it to me.
So, especially those two lines, or the last paragraph, the last stanza, when I'm talking about, this was an interracial relationship, mm-hmm. so with a white person, when I talk about, there's so much that's decided for us before we are even anything. Mm-hmm. You know, our whole existence is based on our ancestors and what our ancestors have done to each other. And so when I talk about you're destined to thrive, I was dating a person that was really privileged, who grew up with two parents, who had access to higher education, to have access to financial assistance, mm-hmm. to, or who didn't even need financial assistance to, like, pay for school, who had a great job. And so when I was talking about, there's so many differences, and we're, it seems like we're almost destined for those things, and which I don't really honestly believe we can change that. But I just felt like there was clear disadvantages on, for as mm-hmm. I had, you know, like, for me growing up, and yeah. like, he didn't have any. And so it just, this poem, and then the scenery that I'm painting really was something that was happening while I was staring at him. There was a fire behind him, and there was a broken glass door right behind him. And at the same time, I was realizing, oh my gosh, like, we have nothing in common.
Aww.
And I just stared at him, and we broke up like the next week.
Aww. Damn.
Yeah. But that's okay. He's where he's supposed to be, and I am too.
100%. Yeah. So would you say, like, obviously coping with some of this heartbreak, etc., is part of, it's just kind of how you cope, by writing, or, like, what else do you do?
Drink alcohol.
Oh my gosh.
Be an cheers. Asshole to people. Oh my gosh, cheers. Salud,
bitch. Dun, 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 dun.
No, it could be, like, it could be a catchy phrase, like...
Welcome to...
No, like, let's play a game.
All right. So this part of the show, we decided we're going to do a Q&A. But we don't know.
But we didn't write the questions.
We didn't write the questions. We don't know what's in there. So, and... I'm kind of scared.
Fun. It's fun.
It'll be fun. Do you want to go first, or should I go
first?
I'll
go first. Okay, ladies first, obviously.
Ladies first. You go, girl.
Okay, so the first...
Wait, first cheers.
Okay, salud first.
Salud.
So the first question is, how has... Oh, this is personal. This is a lot. How has your work in the ACLU contributed to helping the Latinx undocumented community? Okay, what a boring question. just kidding. So as a worker in the ACLU, I manage a immigration campaign throughout the state. Currently, I'm working with the municipality, or, like, unified government in the whole county, to try to create policies to support undocumented or immigrants in general, and all of the community in general, to create identification for people that don't have it. Close to 30,000 people don't have it, wow. in this county, which is a lot of people.
That's a lot of fucking people.
And only 33% are immigrant or undocumented immigrants. Wow. So, like, the majority will be people that are not even immigrants or Latinx. But the reason we're doing it is so we can create protections for people under this same ID would be a clause to, that will be an anti-ICE clause. Mm. So they cannot access the information. So people who come forward and say, I want to be identified, are protected from ICE. And so that's how my work, like, directly impacts Latinx people and immigrants.
That was a great question. That was not a boring question.
I know. It's we said we're not going to talk about work.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This one. What do you love to eat or cook the most? I can tell Audra wrote these.
Is that for me or for you?
For both of us. You for go first.
Okay. So, why do I love to eat?
Or cook the most.
Okay. First off, I don't love to cook. It takes a lot of skill and a lot of patience. And I have neither. I was like, I might have. Nope, I don't.
No, nada. Nada.
But I love to eat absolutely everything. I always make this joke with my friends that, like, they get to pick the place because I get to complain about it.
Anyway, yeah. Like, he said this ayer también. He was like, you know, you can just pick wherever. I'm still going to complain about it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But they all have turned out to be great. So, like, I love any food. I love pizza. And I love Mexican food, of course. But, like, one of my favorite foods is pozole. At any time of the year. It could be 85 hot degrees and I will be eating pozole outside.
You know who else is like that?
Who?
La pinche Gia.
Because we the same. We're sisters.
I know. Hermanas para siempre.
Yeah. Hi, Gia. what's your favorite food?
I don't know that this is my favorite food. It's definitely not my favorite food, but I love eating it and it's like my go-to at a lot of places, but I love wings.
You do love
wings. I love wings. I dragged Alex's ass out of bed in D.C. to get fucking wings with me.
We were already in bed, and this girl is like, I want wings, like, right now. I'm like, God damn it.
Do you regret it?
I don't.
They were bomb.
They were good. They were, like, slightly above average wings.
Fuck that. They were fucking bomb.
Like, I mean, I don't have that much to compare it because I don't eat wings, but they were good. I mean, would I get out of bed for them again? Probably not. But if you make me, probably yes.
Probably yes.
Probably yes.
I'm excited because I'm going to be in D.C. this week and I get to eat those wings again.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. So the cooking, the most part, I love cooking. Do I have the time to do it as much as I would like to? No. Do I have the patience for it? Oddly enough, it's the only thing I have patience for. Like, to the point where I like to perfectly cut everything I cook. Like, sometimes I, like, cut my green onions.
That sounds like a problem.
I know. It is. It is, but I'm so, like, into presentation of my food.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm very intricate in the way that I, like, present food to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, if I could, like, plate food for a living, I fucking would.
That is an actual profession.
I know.
Okay. Okay, you should look into it.
I really should.
Okay.
All right.
I feel like I would be, like, terrible at that. I feel like... I'm like those, like, cafeteria ladies who just, like, scoop stuff out and just throws it on the plate.
It, like,
yeah, bloop. Plop. Yep, that's me. And I'm okay with that. I'm happy with my food regardless. So the next question is... when is your next project coming out and what is it? I can't tell you. no, just kidding. I have two projects that I'm working on right now. I have a manuscript that is ready to be edited. And once it's edited, share with some publishers. I did share with some publishers. It's really hard placing your stuff because a lot of people don't get it. And yeah, they just don't get it. And it's hard. So I don't have a timeline for that project. I'm not going to force myself to have a timeline. And because I don't want to rush it, I think I want it to be perfect. It's a book addressing sexual violence and developmental trauma and family separation. So it's a poetry book as well. And so it's very political. And I'm excited. You should probably look forward to it in next year, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how fast it is. Writing takes a while. And the process to publish it takes even longer. The second project that I'm working on is another book. It's an anthology that is a queer theme anthology. that we are looking to publish in 2020. It's going to be written by Latinx folks only. It's being put together by the Latino Writers Collective, who have published 3 anthologies in the past. The last one that was published about a year and a half ago was nominated last year for the International Poetry Book Award. And so we're really looking forward to repeat that.
Hell yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so that's my project coming out. Probably nothing for this year, but next year it's going to be lit. Yeah. Get it? Lit? Literature? No? Okay.
Well, next. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, next.
Oh, yeah. I just finished a project. I did my second TED Talk.
Congratulations.
That was dope.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I'm still processing it. It was a lot. I kind of, like, forgot everything I was saying, like, 3/4 of the way in. I just, like, fucking blanked. And just don't even know how I just, like, don't remember, you know? It just kind of just, like, happened, and then it was over, and then it was over. It was weird.
Oh.
But it's pretty cool that I get to say, like, that I have 2, like, TED Talks under my belt now.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Hopefully I make it onto the big stage one day.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Yeah. Hopefully by, I don't know, a few years. We'll see what happens.
That's a good goal.
I agree. But I'm not good at writing, so I'll never, like, publish anything. So that's why we have this podcast, because I can talk nonstop about all this bullshit.
You can pay me to write for you. I'll be your ghostwriter.
That was funny. I don't know. Never mind. I'm not even going to go into that. Next question.
So the question is, like, what attracts you to someone first?
Ooh.
Does that say someone? Yeah, that says someone. Yeah, the handwriting is a little weird, but I like it in a good way. So what attracts me to someone? I don't know. That they're not assholes. It's such a simple...
Well, they're all assholes, especially those men, so...
See, it's just verdad. So I like someone who I can have a conversation... or conversations just about anything. Someone who's, like, cool, chill, not super dramatic like me. I feel like I need to find someone who
balances you,
who balances me, and I can easily manipulate.
Oh, wow.
just kidding.
Selfish plug right there.
just someone who is super chill, and it's not like me, because I feel like if there's 2 of us, then we're fucked.
Yeah, you'll be fighting the whole time.
Exactly. I mean, I love fighting, so I want somebody that doesn't fight back. So.
Oh. You just want them to walk away? Be like, okay,
yeah.
You win.
So, yeah, basically.
Basically.
Yeah. So what about you? What attracts you to someone?
I think humor. I really enjoy someone that can make me laugh and that we can just be, like, silly and weird together. And also, like, I'm very, like I mentioned before, I'm really aggressive. So I kind of like poking fun at people. And it's, like, funny, right? It's not like coming from a bad place.
Malicious.
It's not malicious. It's just, like, out of love, just aggressive, fun humor. But also, like, someone's hands and, like, smile.
What?
I don't know. I love...
You have a thing for hands?
I have a thing for hands.
Wow.
And I think I know why.
Sure. Do you follow Instagram pages on
fuck no, that's creepy. No.
Well, it's your thing.
I mean, I notice it, but I'm not obsessed with it.
I want you all to know that I'm hiding my hands right now.
Yeah, I know. We totally fucking is. No, I don't know. I just think they're so, like, they say a lot about a person, and I just like them, okay?
Might say you need to wash in.
And I also like people's smiles, especially if they have, like, crooked smiles.
That's cute.
Oh, my God. I think it's so cute.
That is so cute.
Yeah, so there was, like, a personality one, and then, like, a...
Physical.
Physical, yeah.
Huh. I like that. I think that's super interesting. Also, like, your shirt is giving me life. You're wearing a Selena t-shirt, and I love it.
Why do you live in your current city?
Why not?
I don't know.
Like, Kansas City is such a cool place to live. If you're an artist, I think it's pretty cool for art. not so much for the racism, but, you know, come for art, stay for racism. No, I love it. And there's also, like, really good food, too. Really good barbecue. Mm. I know I always fight with people from Texas that our barbecue is better. And, like, I really don't care if it's better or not. I just love it.
Love.
I just love barbecue. And I love food in general. So, like...
And you love fighting.
And I love fighting, too. Kansas City is such a cool place to be. I am definitely looking to move out of Kansas City in the next few years. But just because I think that there are better opportunities that are going to come. Artistic opportunities, and so I'm just looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I live in Bellingham, Washington, and I just think it's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been, and I'm always happy to go back there. So
yeah,
that's where I live.
Oh, I need to visit this place.
I know, it's beautiful. I keep telling you, it's so. I mean, this place, Seattle's beautiful too, but Bellingham's like next level.
Okay, I'll believe it when I see it.
A ver cuando.
Pues ya.
Yeah.
Llevo a mí.
All right, what's the next question?
Last question that I have is, what was the cause of your last bad night of sleep? Okay, let me think about that. Well, actually, it wasn't a really bad night. It was just a night that I didn't sleep. Last week, I had a performance, and I forgot that I had that performance until that night, and so that kind of worried me. I was like, oh shoot, I haven't prepared anything, or I don't know what I'm going to do. It turned out to be like one of the best performances ever.
Oh,
just because like I was so worried about it, and but you know, like whenever I got to the campus where I was performing, folks were so welcoming and so nice. They gave us a room to get ready, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're taking care of us, and I shouldn't be, and you know, there was no reason to like be so worried. And so the performance was great, but yeah, I didn't sleep that night.
Damn. Yeah, that was me like 2 weeks out from my last project. I barely fucking ate.
Oh.
Slept, I don't know, too much, was still too tired. It takes a lot out of you to be doing all this stuff all the time.
It really does.
Like, it, I don't know, just like practicing, like creating it. It just, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Like, I don't know. I'm so like trying to decide what I'm trying to do with my speaking and whatnot. Because I think I'm like good at it. I just don't know that I want to keep doing it.
It's a lot of energy.
It is a lot of energy. The last question is, are you heartbroken?
Holy fucking shit. Who wrote that? You know, I think I am. I think I am permanently broken or heartbroken. Both. And that's something that I can't fix. So, there's that.
Is there anything else you want to say to that?
Okay, you need to stop because you're trying to make me cry right now.
I'm not trying to make you cry.
Yeah, you did.
Oh.
Or whoever wrote that.
Oh, pobrecito.
Are you heartbroken?
No. I'm not.
Okay, well.
I'm very happy and content with where I'm at in life. But I'm ready for my transition, and I just feel like I'm at the point in my life where I'm just like believing in manifesting my reality and just doing it, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's so brave.
Yeah. And I might have lied. I'm a little heartbroken, pero no tanto. Poquito. But I'm over it.
Pero it's un fine. Poquito se pero siente poquito. Rico. Yeah. Cuando te gusta la mala vida, un poquito is just like, yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm a little more than I thought. Oh, pass, next. Okay. Next. So, my last question that I ask everybody is, what do you envision your liberation to look like?
Lots of beautiful black and brown dicks.
Pues así, it's over. The show's over. You found the liberation.
Yeah, that's about it. Is that a serious question? Because I was serious.
I know. I know you were serious. So let's hear it. What's your plug? I know you have lots of plugs. I want to hear them.
Well, people can follow my journey, my poetry, my personal life, and my cats at Poetic Chico on Instagram and all other social media. Please follow me, hire me,
buy love me, their
books. Buy my book on Amazon, or you can just hit me up if you don't want to like contribute to Amazon. You can just hit me up and you can buy it from me directly too. What else? You could follow all the other stuff that I do. You can follow La Resistencia Poetry on Instagram. You can follow KS Moda, which is the group that I work with, KSMODA. And yeah, just keep supporting me and other folks. Keep supporting this podcast. Make us famous.
Make us famous. Yeah. I don't want to be famous.
I do.
I just want to bitch about a lot of the things that I'm thinking about and want other people to do it too.
I do want to be famous.
So we're going to end with a piece of your choosing. Do you know what you want to end with?
Yeah, I would like to end with a tiny short poem that I wrote about my... I wrote this from the point of view of my grandmother, because it's only like 8 lines, but that's what I love to do, like short poetry that packs a lot. Mm-hmm. This is called Colonized by Design. Can I read it?
Yeah, but before you read it, I just want to say thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me. Oh my gosh, I'm in Seattle. I can't believe it.
I know. Y otra vez nos vamos a empedar, and have a good time in Seattle. Yeah, but no, thank you so much. And I've literally been looking forward to having you on here forever. And I'm glad that we got to do like a super tipsy show. Yeah. And like just cheese meat and be ourselves. And
yeah.
Fuck, that's what we do anyway, right?
Yes, okay.
Let's hear it. I love you.
Thank you all. Darling, she whispered. Listen to me. Listen closely. We're not more than broken people navigating a broken system in a broken country. But stand up. Clean up. Vamos. We're stitching you up.
This has been a
The Sky Kraken
Production.